I can't wait to listen to the bonus trunk.
So I was trying to explain to the 13-year-old who Alfred Hitchcock was, and I told him about Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I told him about Lamb to the Slaughter. And I said, you know, here's this thing, and she kills her husband with the leg of lamb, and then she serves the leg of lamb to the detective, and that's the end, and ta-da. And he's sitting there with this face going, oh my God, that's horrible. That's sick.
But it's delightful, though.
Well, and I said, well, it's based on a story by Roald Dahl. And he went, oh my God, no. No, that's sick. I'm like, Willy Wonka is not exactly normal.
Yeah, that's not even remotely out of character for Dahl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This stuff was creepy.
Your mistake was not showing a man from the south. That would be the one.
Oh, that's a great one. I love that one.
Oh, man.
I finally won back all the cars.
Peter Lorre, yeah.
Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice your lighter.
You know, when they remade that one in the 1985 one, they had, John Huston doing it.
I liked the Four Rooms version of it, actually.
Oh, no. I have haven't actually watched a Quentin Tarantino movie since that because of that that segment.
Wow.
Yeah, that angered me.
Take another big drink.
I just enjoy that he fails on the first try or something.
Yeah. Well, there is that.
That part is hilarious.
It's a nice gag, yeah.
I'll give you that.
Monty, are you out there?
I am out there.
Whoa! You're way out there.
Yep. So far out there.
That's right, Daddy-O.
It's that hip young lingo from the streets.
Streets of 1952.
That's a few years in advance of... Let me just say that I love the checking up on Phil segment of the podcast.
That's right. He's doing okay. Rage subsiding. Peter Lorre.
How did Phil fuck up tonight? Let's see.
Phil, I very much enjoyed your Shark Tank write-up.
Well, thank you, sir.
Oh, God, yes.
I think Shark Tank is going to be big now, especially because it can cash in on that Left Shark meme.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to start a whole second show. Left Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm. Left Shark Tank.
You know, frankly, I did not see a whole lot of difference between the left and the right shark. I think people were looking for issues to discuss.
Yeah, I don't know how you can tell which one was dancing right, which one was dancing wrong.
I was in a newsroom the last couple of days, and they spent a lot of time about trying to dig up the Left Shark and interview them. And, man, let me tell you, it's a depressing state of journalism today.
You know, people were looking for anything to take their mind off that dead kid from earlier in the broadcast.
If I claim to be the left shark, can I get interviewed?
Oh, totally. I can totally hook you up.
People have no way of knowing.
No, they wouldn't. Man. They wouldn't fact check it.
No, we'd do one of those things where we distort your voice and put the black, you know, turn all the lights down.
I am the left shark.
I'm left shark.
Also, from Katy Perry's perspective, it was the right shark.
No, right. I'm left sharkicus.
Stage right shark.
Stage right shark.
Come on, people.
I hope this
the
is
the shark
still fun,
is wrong, man. Bitch.
I hope this is still funny in 8 months because this is going to be my Halloween costume. Remember that thing? Everybody cared about it for a week.
Yeah. Team right shark. I'm team right.
You can go with somebody dressed as the Fonz on a fake motorcycle.
I liked the lion from Voltron that she rode. That was my favorite part. Yeah. That was pretty good. That was the only part of the Super Bowl I saw. You saw the best? No.
It was pretty representative. Yeah. The whole thing was like that.
It was mostly, mostly sharks and robot lions.
So what are we talking about?
All right, you ready,
bullshit?
Phil?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I just sneak in and just say, I just finished watching this movie 20 seconds ago. I was 7 minutes from the end when the Skype call came in. So I had the volume muted all the way in case you spoiled the ending. That's it.
All right.
Well.
I thought the sensation seekers in the audience would enjoy that there was just like in broadcast news that scene where the lady has to rush to the control booth to get that tape slammed into the tape head at exactly the right moment for broadcast.
You watched
you
it
living
fresh.
This life exactly.
And if you are a sensation seeker, I applaud you on your decision to listen to a podcast about Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yes,
while seated, which is a dangerous thing to do. We're all thrill seekers by sitting down.
So Detective Jack Graham, Johnny Squarejaw, is actually McDonald Carey, who, mm-hmm. if anybody is a fan of, I know you guys are a fan of the old soap opera genre, he was the patriarch on, and is still, even though he died many years ago, the narrator of the opening credits of Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives.
Like sounds wow. through the
He was very, 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 very old when I saw him on Days of Our Lives. But
was he not also in Miracle on 34th Street? Or am
I don't
am
think
I
so. I don't think so.
Streams.
Yeah, I'm not Who did he know that one? No, he is. According to Wikipedia, he is.
Huh.
Oh, in the original unlikely. 1 hour, in a 1 hour television adaptation.
Oh, that, no.
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Well, that's not Miracle on 34th
That's not canonical
Street.
In any it's way.
Well, interestingly enough, which also starred Teresa Wright.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Dun, look at that.
That is very interesting.
Everything
is interesting enough.
And we haven't even gotten to Hume Cronin yet, but we'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there.
We're getting there. So, anyhow.
The podcast.
Yes.
Yeah.
New to the Incomparable Network.
Would you trust Hume Cronin's ability to discern wild mushrooms that are poisonous from the normal kind?
That's a good point.
I'm not sure
Probably
that I
not.
Would.
Probably.
Well, you had to back then. They didn't have proper supermarkets. They were still foraging until, like, 1955, right?
The most you could accuse him of is manslaughter.
Anyway, when all of you come over to my house to visit, I just watch out. I may slip some soda into your drink.
Oh God! I'll be up all night, Jason. That is terrible.
I know. No jury will convict me because I'll kill the other suspect.
Well, that sounds like a perfect plan.
It is a perfect murder. But no, we're getting way ahead of
covering up
now.
Your murder with other murders. Always
so
a good
the other
plan.
Suspect is dead.
Anyhow,
yep.
The anyhow drinking game. Now remember, you might have to go back to the liquor cabinet, kids.
But yep. but yeah, then there's this whole long, complicated description of earworms, and the 13-year-old is sitting there going, "Get on with it! Get on with it! It's an earworm! Shut up!" It's like
I kept trying to place the ballroom like dancing scenes. I didn't know whether that was just fanciful or whether that was going to be important at some point.
That I think pictures the scene inside of Joseph Cotton's head.
Yes, that's what I think it's supposed to be.
But it's super disorienting over the credits. And it seems a bit odd for a suspense film, I agree.
And it's weird just after he meets, well, at the very end, I'll just say, when all of a sudden there's that one moment of ballroom dancing again. It's like, oh, okay.
See, what happens is if, as a child, you ride your bike into a streetcar, you will have waltzing people in your head for the rest of your life.
And you'll want to kill widows, so you got that going
and
for
you'll
you.
Want to, well, I mean, that's just natural, yeah. right?
But that was
who doesn't.
I like this movie, but there's so many little details like that made me think, oh, thank goodness you showed me the script before you went into production because we could fix that. Like, oh my God, there's a picture of me somewhere. You don't have a picture of me? Oh yes, here's a picture of Charlie when he was 5 years old. Like, oh, and you see this kid who obviously does not look anything like him. And they explain, oh, because he got into a car, he ran into traffic just hours after this photo was taken. We were covered by nationwide insurance, so, and then.
Topical.
It's like, the reason why they will not be able to recognize him by this photo is because he had extensive cranial surgery after this, not because he's now 30 or 40 years older. Okay.
See, I always wondered if there was an implication there that, like, almost like a suggestion of a changeling, like somehow they ended up with the wrong Charlie back from the hospital.
He came back wrong.
We played this Edison cartridge, even though we were told not to play it. And once we heard it, we had to give it to somebody else in 24 hours.
I was thinking of Bruce McCullough. There was a lot of mix, stir. No one? Okay.
Oh, that's more of a Harvey Korman thing, really.
Toss. Flashbacks.
Now, why did she go onto the train with him to begin with?
What it said in the script.
Yeah, well, like we said, you know, maybe because the kids were on the train and there was some concern about the murderer, but yeah, it's because
I would have respected her in the movie a little bit more if there was a lot. The thing that really impressed me in a long sequence of scenes that really impressed me about this character was she knows that all I got to do is get that ring back and wear it once, and he will know. Okay, wish I could stay, but I gotta go. Time for me to leave. Goodbye. And that's exactly what she does. So when you have these things where I'm going to make sure that I'm going to put myself in a situation and me and my family could be in real danger. That's like, okay.
Maybe she went on the train just to make sure he was really leaving.
That
I think the protecting her younger siblings is probably in what I said is not my favorite thing that she ever does in that.
Yeah. Right.
It's all headcanon. And I like the fact that Thornton Wilder wrote this. I didn't like Our Town when I read it. I didn't like Our Town when I saw it. And then we produced it here and I fell in love with it. I was like, oh my God, of course. And this is sort of like the darker, twisted version of Our Town.
I've always been more of a skin of our teeth man.
I still have, I've seen
play fight.
I walked out of it.
That's
but
fair.
Maybe if I produced it, I don't know. You know, I'm probably old enough to see it now. When I saw it, I was too young.
It's pretty dumb and gimmicky. Is that how it seemed at the time?
Yeah.
It is.
It's very much like, hey, let's be wacky and do all of history.
Yeah.
To be fair, Monty found the tickets for Skin of Their Teeth at a gas station. So
they have a rack of theater tickets.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like the dark, twisted Our Town, except everyone is still happy. Everyone is still connected. And you know, everyone's making comments about how they would kill one another and how they would get away with it. And so, you know, so it doesn't maybe seem quite so out of place that here's this guy also talking about killing and things, except his has an edge to it where, you know, Hume, Cronin, and Clarence don't have an edge. They're just like, well, you know, I could get away with killing you.
they on the Twilight Zone, they never said what town Bill Mumy is from.
That's
could
true.
Be could that be Santa Rosa. Terrified of being, that's true. You know, wished into the cornfield.
And, you know, the, what was I just going to say? Oh, no. Dang it.
Well, anyway.
Drink.
Anyhow.
I love those interchanges because it just felt like, it felt so familiar. Like, if you have a good friend that you see every single day and you can start a conversation with, okay, but what if the Hulk is in zero gravity and so he can pick up Mjolnir? Would he then be able to, I think he then would be able to defeat Thor. No, you haven't thought about that through because his control over the magic hammer is not contingent upon his contact with the Earth.
I feel like I just had a stroke. I don't know what's happening now.
I actually think Thornton Wilder, I'm not a big fan of Thornton Wilder. I appeared in a production of Our Town as the newspaper.
Well, that explains it.
No, and I hate Our Town so much. dear God, high school, stop producing Our Town. It's a terrible thing. You're not going to do it well. You have no gravitas. But I think he brings a nice touch to it here, and I
awkward.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing us all down, man. We're having a great time talking about thrill killing.
Anyhow,
I love the fact that in the middle of the movie, they take time to have this conversation about these actors that they love. I love James Mason. I love Cary Grant. They just run through all these actors that he's about to work with.
Well, that's the loony aunt, too, so she has no idea what it is she's talking about pretty much throughout the whole conversation.
But I'm Jimmy Stewart. You
know, the something of the something. No, just the plain old something.
Yes, the something. The something, yes. I think that's probably it.
And the other subtext of it, according to one of the screenwriters, he wrote it so that the Jimmy Stewart character had an affair with one or both of those guys.
Hey, good for them.
Cool. Yeah.
Hey, I'd do them.
Jimmy Stewart, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Human sexuality is a continuum.
Oh, God.
Oh, this went bad quick.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Is what Jimmy Stewart would be saying.
That movie kind of suffers by the fact that I've seen Mel Brooks parody Hitchcock. Because I feel like I'm looking directly in the mirror of High Anxiety when I see the slow pulling to, he's just randomly like strangling something as he's talking about this, and this stilted kind of arch dialogue and these really, really fancy camera moves. It seems like it's parodying itself, even though it was just originating something that was going to become a trend to come on later. I didn't feel that way about Rope, but maybe that's because I'm just better. The engine is better primed to enjoy something like Rope. I think that a modern audience that are seeing this for the first time and has seen like two decades worth of movies that are not simply parodying Hitchcock, but they're building on Mel Brooks movies, would just see this as kind of ridiculous. I had that experience. I actually had to walk out on a screening at the Harvard Theater of Vertigo because everybody thought everyone was just so hip and so too cool for school. And the fact that like Jimmy Stewart had like 8 bottles of alcohol on a bar cart in his apartment. Oh, haha, look, he's getting drunk again. Oh, look at how stiff her hair is. And people were just laughing in all the wrong places. I wonder if it would be the same thing, an audience seeing this.
I actually don't like Vertigo.
I agree with Phil. It's not. Yeah. I really dislike
it. So emotionally disconnected. It's like the worst of Hitchcock. Yeah.
They recently did this critics poll where it was the best movie of all time.
Those and people are on something.
I think that's crazy talk. That is not. I think it's an okay movie, but it's not even. Yeah. I wouldn't even put it in my top five.
I feel like it amplifies Hitchcock. His. Like I said, I feel like it amplifies his worst traits. It is the coolest, most disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the stage version of 39 Steps that's been going around the world recently. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. Oh, totally different from the Hitchcock movie, but Hitchcock went totally different from the source material with 39 Steps. So,
but man, it's fun.
Yeah.
I admit that I did it, but the real criminal is the society that made me.
Dan Morin, thank you.
Pleasure. No acknowledgement.
No, I mean, we're just going to say things now, so that's fine. I'm just going to move on. I don't need to come up with retorts to your rejoinders.
We put a lot of thought into these quips and rejoinders. Yeah. I've got a whole stack of unused index cards here.
Well, send some my way.
Maybe we shouldn't plan for these things. Maybe we should just ad lib. Well, like an animal. Okay, we'll just be the ad lib like an animal podcast.
By requiring me to reply to your scripted material, you're requiring me to ad lib like an animal, and I simply won't do it.
I think I saw a show where animals were ad libbing, and it was not as good as you guys make it sound.
Boys, please stop fighting. They're going to look in the trunk.
Apparently, you do have a little tiny Hitchcock walking down the street. In that opening,
the opening credits, yeah.
And also his profile shows up in the neon signs.
In the neon sign later, yeah.
Has the opening shot been discredited? I did have to every time I see a Hitchcock movie, you have to look up to see where the reference is in case you missed it. And I've read complete the Hitchcock profile in the street scene afterward is definitely locked in. The guy in the opening, I've seen disputes about that. Fights about that.
That sounds like a
Donnie Brooks.
I'm heading
to IMDb. Super productive thing to fight about. Good work, internet.
that's what Hume Cronin and Henry Travers fight about at dinner sometimes. Is Alfred Hitchcock references.
I did a terrible Jimmy Stewart to Dan earlier today.
That was pretty bad. It sounded like you were having a stroke.
I believe my writings about murders have been taken far too literally here. See, I can't do it.
I don't even know what that is.
Are you real?
Do you know how desperately I would like to have a bottle of beer with Clarence the Angel? It's the greatest. What other movie do you have a line where the dad just decides he's going to get himself a bottle of beer in 1943?
That was good. That was good, solid workmanlike drinking back then.
I'm home from work. It's time for a bottle of beer.
That's why he gets so angry about the papers when they're messed up.
We serve hard drinks for hard men. We don't have any room for any characters around here.
I'm thinking of a rum punch. Flaming rum punch.
People come here to get drunk fast, and we don't need no characters to give the joint atmosphere.
Pixies go through the door, out the window.
There's Andy.
Out you two pixies go through the door, out the window.
With the line.
One thing I really liked in the 39 Steps is they do that move where the cops are coming, so you kiss somebody really quick so your face is hidden, and it completely fails. As soon as he detaches himself, she's like, hey, police, this guy, right?
Well, my two favorite bits in that are when he says, yeah, I got to beware of this guy with, he's missing half a finger. And the guy says, oh, you mean like this? Oh, yeah. Crap. That's a great line. And when he's trying to escape and he says to the milkman, are you married? And he says, well, why do you want to bring that up? And that's a great bit.
Also, you can tell it's a really early talkie because there's a couple straight up silent movie scenes.
Yeah.
The chase across the moor where they speed the cameo. Film up.
Yeah, great cameo of the Firth of Forth Bridge, which was very close to where I went to school in Scotland.
Yeah, 39 Steps is outstanding.
Yeah. It hinges on a guy with a good memory.
Oh, the lady, lady vanishes.
Cameras or to mention that. Then, so you needed a guy with a memory to steal things.
Yeah, lady vanishes. Memero. Another great British era one.
That's up there with a good 1970s cop movie saying, "Jenno, comb the directory. We want everybody who's a magician, who's a woman, who is also a mentalist."
Anyhow,
also bought a pair of top shoes.
The next one is going to be the baseball one.
Oh yeah,
sweet. Pride of the Yankees.
Pride of the Yankees, and probably Bad News Bear is the 1976 version.
Oh, all right, cool.
Nice. Woo-hoo!
That'll be good.
That's one of my favorite movies. I decided.
Yeah,
that's good. We'll all have to have cheap beer with that.
Yeah.
Have that one come
well,
out.
Well, there's no chance
day,
of that,
Jason?
David.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Get a church. Right. Get your church keys in line.
Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Don't put your hat on the bed, everybody.
Good night.
No, it's bad luck.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
That's Vincent Price.
It's just a way to end the podcast in the twilight.
There were five.
Hitchcock was fat.
Finally got the title at the last second.
Eat it, Hitchcock.
Eat it, Hitchcock. Well, he did eat it. That's why he was
That's how he got to eat it. Yeah, thank you.